It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Sick Podcast, Recruits Draftcast. I hope you all had some very merry and holly and jolly and all that good stuff. Holidays. We hope you ate a lot. I know I did. Grant, did you fill your tummy up?
Yeah, I get a box of turtles every year. And
that's what I'm talking about.
For some reason, I can't just have one a day. It's, you know, they're not hard to make. Ready to roll. So yeah, I've had lots of turkey, lots of chocolate, and time to start exercising again.
Love it. Well, today, folks, we're going to be delving into our usual prospects of the week. We're going to get to Rocco's riser of the week, and for that we'll bring in our friend Rocco to talk about his pick. We're also going to be talking about our prospect of the week, and for you Habs fans, we got you covered. Habs prospect of the week coming right up. So let's get started.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to the Sick Podcast. Sick Podcast. Recruits Draft Cast.
And with the first overall selection in the 2023 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks are very proud to select from the Regina Pats, the Western Hockey League, Connor Bedard.
The sickest NHL draft and scouting podcast. It's gonna be sick.
Folks, you know the drill by now. I am your host, producer Shane, joined by the amazing Grant McCagg. And we are also joined by Rocco Zappia. Welcome back, because you filled in for me when I was AWOL. So thank you, Rocco, for that. And thank you for joining us today. How you doing?
Good. Not quite as amazing as Grant, but I'm doing okay.
You're fantastic, Rocco. Fantastic. Rocco, today we have a special segment named after you, which is Rocco's riser. So why don't you tell us about Lucas Fischer, who is your riser for this week?
Yeah, so Lucas Fischer is a left-handed D from Sarnia. He brings a lot to the table, in my opinion, here. He starts off, first of all, he's got really good height, 6'4". One of the younger players in the draft, September 9th birthday. So he's only a week away from being in next year's draft. Now, we're running through the clips here. You can see this as we go. His skating is quite good. He's very mobile, especially for his size, which teams are going to covet. If you can get a big D with that kind of height and that kind of mobility, good feet, good acceleration, good four-way mobility. He's not just a good straight line skater. Teams are going to covet that. You see it come playoff time. You can't get enough big mobile defensemen. He has a very good stick in the defensive zone. He's not just a physical defender, although he does bring that physical edge to the table as well. He's not afraid to lay the body. He has a little bit of his dad in him. If you guys remember his dad, Yuri Fischer, who was a mean son of a gun out there. Now, Lucas is a little more new age, a little more skill, a little more mobility, but he does have that edge, that toughness as well. He can really get under opponents' skin, and he identifies, I find, the better players on the team, and he makes his presence known to them. This game is against Oshawa, where you have Callum Ritchie, who's a first rounder. You got Beckett Senecky, who's projected by, could be a first rounder this year. He's all over them this game. He was actually +2 in this game in a loss, and they had no points. He covered them very, very well all game, which I really like to see. If you can step up and shut down a guy who has that draft status, that pedigree, that bodes well to me. I find he's very aware of what's going on. His head's on a swivel. He doesn't get caught puck watching, which a lot of young defensemen can do. He keeps it simple, doesn't force the play. Keeps it simple in a good way. I don't mean to say he's devoid of ability in that sense. He doesn't have to play simple, but he plays simple in the way that you would like him to. Brings a good hockey IQ to the table, which very common. His dad played in the league, so he grew up around the game. To me, that's a big plus for him. Where you want to see him improve maybe is he is pretty slender, only at 170, 180 pounds, depending where you see. But at 6'4", you'd like him well over 200 pounds. Now, he's a young kid. He just turned 17. He has a lot of time to fill out that massive frame. But you'd like to see him up around 210 or so. But he has plenty of time to get there. The other thing is that he doesn't necessarily have a ton of high-end offensive upside. He is very mobile. He moves the puck well. But he's just not the flashy game. It's just not his game. And that's okay, because you need guys that aren't so flashy, they can play a little more simple, but still have that hockey skill and mobility to play with a better guy. So to me, I see him being a really, really nice complementary defense in a top four role where he can maybe play with a more offensive-minded guy and keep things in check. Now, not to say he's the same type of player, but in the similar fashion that Zub in Ottawa gets to maybe play with Shabbat or Sanderson sometimes, or Nick Hag in Vegas. He plays with the more skilled guys sometimes, and he has that mobility and skill to hang with them, but he's not the offensive driver. So that might be where people might be concerned. I don't want to say concerned, because it's just not his game, and that's okay. It's not a bad thing. I do really, really like this player. For me, he's a first rounder. I'm going to take a guy that can skate like that with that size. The age, I don't want to overplay the fact that he's young, but it does make a difference, because he's almost a full year younger than some of the players in this draft. So he has more room to grow. And I think if he fills out his frame and just honestly keeps doing what he's doing, gets into a pro system where they can refine the details of his game a little bit. You don't expect him to be perfect. He's a 17-year-old. Gets into a good system that can develop him. I think the sky's the limit. He's a player that has an exceptional toolbox, and it's about working with him and developing that. And I do think the potential is there.
Wow. Fantastic.
Holy jeez. Right. You could have done the 8-minute clip there, Rocco.
You know what? I like to talk. What can I say? Italian. That's just the way I was brought up. I either talked a lot and talked loud, or I didn't get heard. So
you're a lot better at this than I am. Yeah. Well, I mean, we went and saw Fisher in Ottawa early in the year, and he looked really good that game. And, you know, I think I had him at the end of the second round before that, moved him up into the top 40 at that point. And, you know, you've watched him a little more than I have on video over the past month. And once I got to see those clips, and you kept saying, I think he's a first rounder. I agree wholeheartedly. And being the boss, it was up to me to move him up, and I did. So Rocco's riser is now a first rounder. And I mean, you look at what impressed me there was his breakup. Like, you know, he gets the puck and he's mobile and he gets away from guys and then gets the outlets up. He's very impressive.
He has a good, which is, it's rare a little bit for a guy that size. He has that quick jump where he can gain a half drive. But now I remember the clip where he was coming around the net and Senecki was chasing him. Well, Senecki's not the best skater, so maybe it's not the best example, but he gained a stride length on him just with a couple quick pushes. And then all of a sudden it's which way do you want it? Cause he can carry the puck out, or he's capable as a puck distributor as well, passes up to the forwards. So there's a few times there, he looked like a one man breakout. Other times he's making one move and dishing it. I feel like even though he's not putting up a ton of points here in the OHL, I feel like the way he gets his points might translate, where I'm not saying he's going to be 40, 50 point defenseman here, but you know, there was only 60 defensemen last year that got 30 points in the league. So on average, your number two defense is around 30 points. I don't see why he can't be in that 25 to 30 point range, you know, picking up just with smart plays. He makes smart plays, smart passes. He's not on a very good team in Sarnia. There's not a lot, you know, they're minus 25 or minus 26 goal differential right now. He's even on the year. I'm not a big plus minus guy, but if you're negative on a good team, or if you're positive on a bad team, I think that says a little bit. So I'd like to see what he could do. This is a guy I can't wait to watch in the top prospects game. Give him some skilled forwards to play with and see if you know, secondary assists don't start kind of appearing for him.
Yeah.
Well, he might be might have him as a Rocco's riser later in the year then too, right? So, I mean, it's possibility that he ends up being top 20. There's a lot of potential there. And the September birthday to me is always, important. When these kids just turn 17 and they're playing as well as he is, it's a factor as well how young he is.
Certainly. And they're leaning on him too. He's getting 23, 24 minutes a night on average. In the last 8-10 games, that's been up over 25, 26. He's really, really gaining the trust of the coaches there. And he's becoming an all-situation player. He's not seeing the power. He's getting all these points, even strength for the most part. He's not seeing a ton of power play time, a little bit on the second unit, but primarily he's 5-on-5 and PK, and he's taking the harder assignments. And he's still half a point a game, plus player on a bad team. There's not a lot here that I've seen so far that I haven't liked.
And his coach is Al Letang, who was coaching Canada's World Junior team too. And I think we're going to be getting to a guy from that team a little later. But you caught Agnello and Sammy Lil by surprise, because we were originally going to start with the Celebrini, and we didn't get to do the intro music for Rocco. I don't know.
you can make it the outro music.
What's that?
You can make it the outro music when I sign off.
There you go. Love it.
Yeah. But that's great that you got another look at him. And I agree that, that he doesn't play on a great team. He's a young kid. He's got that. And like a lot of NHL scouts tell me, you can be a second pairing. The vast majority of second pairing guys that are 6'2 plus, that are mobile, that move the puck, are not 30 plus point scorers in the NHL. There's a ton of them. So, he could complement an offensive defenseman that's a little smaller and on a second pairing or even a first pairing someday if he develops.
No, I completely agree. And again, differences in the player, but in terms of the role, I really see him fitting very much like a Zub does in Ottawa, where you staple him to your best, your most talented maybe defenseman, and say, hey, you go do your thing. I got you covered. And that gives a whole, you can see his team plays with a little more confidence with him on the ice. I do really like the player. You mentioned top 20. I didn't want to go there, but that is right in the range where I personally have him at this moment. That can change up or down. I really don't see a massive drop-off between the defensemen that are consistently known already in that top 20. And this guy can hang with them.
Yeah. Great stuff.
So yeah. Those gingerbread jerseys were pretty sick too. I have to highlight those.
Oh, yeah, they were sick, all right.
Yeah. Awesome stuff. Rocco, thank you so much. Before we let you go though, I see the hoodie. So I have to ask, right? Team Canada World Juniors, what's the outlook looking like? Are you confident in the gold?
I wouldn't say this is not the most confident I've ever been in a Team Canada, not the most. There's a couple other extremely good teams. Now, am I cheering for them? Absolutely. Do they have a shot at it? Of course they have a shot at it. Do I want them to win it? Yes, I really want them to win it. Am I going to call it a lock? No, not yet. There's a couple good teams out there, but I think we'll be seeing them in the gold medal game, and hopefully they can pull it out. A three-peat sounds nice.
Well, you know what? One guy who's helping out, and he is the youngest player of that team, undrafted, likely to be number one, happens to be our prospect of the week. So let's talk about Macklin Celebrini, why don't we?
Well, Rocco's so good at this. Why doesn't he just keep
that? Hey, this one's all you, Grant. You go right ahead here.
Well, he just got plowed there in that. For me, Celebrini, he does it all. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've seen a more complete center prospect in my 16 years of scouting. The closest I mean, he's the closest thing to Sidney Crosby as far as I'm concerned when it comes his play away from the puck since Crosby was in his draft year. So I'm just completely smitten by this kid. I think he's I wish we could bring that back again, but it shows him when the goalie made that great save. You know, he tapped a stick and went up to him, and there it is there. You know, he's thing that I hear about him is his leadership qualities already at 17 years of age are just amazing, and that he's future captain material all day long in the NHL. Now, we see the puck skills. We see how quick he is. We see the smarts. When you try to say what's his main strength, I mean, it's virtually a tie with about six things. But what I think stands out perhaps more than anything is just his awareness on the ice, where to be on the ice, where to go. He anticipates the play just at a level that is rare. Especially away from the puck, he just seems to know where the play is going to go, and he gets there. And that's the case for all three zones. For a 17-year-old kid playing center to be that aware in your own zone, like he's going to go to the NHL, and a coach isn't going to have to spend much time with him. Open the door and let him go. I think that he is going to make the NHL right out of training camp next year and be in a top two center role for an NHL team right off the bat. That's how good this kid is. If you want to compare him to Bedard, obviously nobody shoots quite like Bedard, but Bedard's got the edge with his release and his shot. But as far as vision, playmaking skills, defensive game, skating, Bedard's got nothing on him in any of those categories. And I think I might give the edge to Celebrini in all those departments. So,
wow.
I had an NHL scout who isn't known for superlatives say to me yesterday when we were texting back and forth, he said, he's amazing. I've never seen him say that about a prospect, and he's been doing it 20 years. So he's a scout's dream and a coach's dream. Now, do I think he's consensus number one? Absolutely. Do I think if he was in a draft with Bedard and you were going to draft number one, would Bedard be the runaway number one pick? I honestly don't think so. That's how good this kid is.
Wow.
What do you think? What do you think, Rocco?
I echo a lot of what you say. I don't see a notable flaw in his game. And he excels at so many things. There's what else do you want from the guy? He can do it all. He's great in the offensive zone. He's great in the defensive zone. He's good in the neutral zone. He's a good teammate. He's a good leader. He can shoot. He can pass. He tries hard. Like for me, he's easily number one in this draft class. Drafting them head to head. Give me, but like Grant, to Grant's point, you have to think about it.
Yeah.
A little bit. He's an excellent player. I think any team who gets him is getting a true, honest franchise cornerstone that you can really build around. And it helps when your incoming franchise player is so responsible and so committed and shows the dedication, the effort. Like the rest of your team, they have to buy. How can you not buy in when your best player is going to come in with this attitude? It brings everybody. I don't like putting guys down too much, but this guy to me is like the anti Shane Wright. The things that I saw in Wright that I didn't like. Now they're both skilled players. I just mean in terms of attitude, body language on the ice. And that's why Wright, started the year consensus number one, fell to four. scouts have these questions, and I don't have these questions whatsoever about Celebrini. He checks every box that I could have. He's number one all day. I'm almost to the point where I'm going to hardly watch him in the second half, because he's already, you know, you got to figure out the rest of the draft. You know this kid is the cream of the darn crop here this year, and he would give most number one overall picks a good run for their money. You know, mm-hmm. You have guys that they're most highly touted: Sid, McKinnon, Matthews, Bedard. These guys came in with insane hype. He might be a half a hair below, but not really. Like, he's right there. He can do it all for me. He's number one all day. And I've put that discussion to rest in my head a little bit, I think, at this point.
Well, who a lot of fan bases. Sorry, Grant. Go ahead.
Who would you pick between Bedard and Crosby if you were it was their draft years?
Now, I see that I didn't watch Sid in his draft year as much. I was still younger then. Sid's 87. No, Sid's 87. I'm 89, right? I was in high school. I wasn't you know, as into the draft as I am now. I was born in the Maritimes. Like, give me Sidney Crosby all day long. I'm never going to not take Sidney Crosby. He's won three Stanley Cups. He's, as far as I'm concerned, he's going to end up as one of the top 10 of all time, probably, if he's not already. So if Bedard has that potential, yeah, he does. Bedard could be as good as any of them. But Sid's already done it. So I'll take the third one with the three Stanley Cups.
I guess my point being, I think Bedard's going to be like a 60, 70 goal scorer a lot of years in the NHL, 100 plus points. Will he lead Chicago to Stanley Cups? He's talented enough to. Now, Celebrini, probably not going to be a 60, 70 goal scorer, but I can see him being a 100 plus regular season guy. But do I think he will be able to lead? I see every indication that he's a guy that's going to help you win at playoff time, big time. So, I mean, pick your poison. Which do you prefer, right? I think, you know, different players, but both bring things to the table that, in my estimation, make him almost as valuable a pick for scouts as Bedard was last year. And that's saying a lot, because I mean, how can you not absolutely love Bedard, you know? And we've got another, we've got the clips from his Latvia game here, you know, and some people say, oh, well, it was Latvia, you know, we got 5 points. Yeah, well, who else got 5 points?
Exactly.
I mean, a lot of great players did. How many 5-point games did Sid the Kid have in World Juniors? You know, and he played even worse teams. Latvia's not that bad a team. They played against, you know, Macklin Celebrini. That's why they lost 10-0, you know. But as you'll see in these, as good as he was in the opening game, he just blew me away yesterday with, again, everything he did. Like, you'll see in these highlights. He wins faceoffs. He's going to get points just off face-off wins alone. Again, you know, the chip around and then the pass here, right to the open spot. That I love so much. Just he put the puck right to where you wanted to put it. It was an absolutely perfect pass for a goal there. Here again, just coming back in the play, surveying everything. Tell me he doesn't have some dangles, you know. What did you think of his game yesterday, Rocco?
You said it all. He's the best player on the ice from start to finish. Like, I'm almost zoned out here just watching him. He's so much fun. He's just so much fun to watch.
This shift just amazed me. Like, you see, he just goes to the right spot. He knows where to go. He was so dangerous. He doesn't get a point on this one. And this shift impressed me more than any. And look at he finally waits, and then fights a guy right. But he's, you know, it's almost Gretzky-like sometimes with where he put the puck where it needs to be. You go to the puck. Look at that one, too. He should have had six assists. Those last two highlights show where he set guys up perfectly and they didn't finish. But by all rights, he should have had six assists and two goals yesterday, with any luck at all. The little chip ahead to Rakoff there was amazing. Here's his goal. Like, again, he anticipated that, where to go and how quick is he? Like, his quick twitch reflexes is elite. His puck skills are elite. His skating is elite. His hands are elite. But I think more than anything, and it's his hockey sense. It's just off the charts. And Bedard's the same, That's one thing that was so but I think where he has an edge as far as a complete player is he's a little bigger than Bedard and better defensively at this point. And I think that'll always probably be the case. Now, I can see the two of them battling it out for some scoring titles down the road. And, but as far as complete player goes, I just, again, in my time scouting since 2007, I haven't seen a center that, that just is that complete. Look at that pass. Just imagine, like the NHL teams, the teams that are at the bottom of the standings are just going to be licking. The players are going to be licking their chops saying, wow, I hope I get to play with this guy someday. But San Jose, are they the clear?
San Jose, place? Chicago.
Chicago's right there too, eh?
Imagine him playing with Bedard. I'm the same team. I don't even want to.
Well, imagine that 1-2 punch at center.
Ugh.
That's in, Mario Ron Francis territory almost,
like,
but, somebody was also mentioning a Flyer fan. What I saw a tweet yesterday when I posted something about Celebrini saying, what if Pittsburgh ends up with him? So, you go from Mario passing the torch to Sid. Passing the torch to Celebrini. Imagine that, eh? So, yeah, there's going to be, come the second half, I think by the end of the World Juniors and then from then on right till draft day, they're going to come up with new slogans for,
Stinky for Celebrini. That's my favorite.
Yeah, exactly, I haven't come up with one yet. What a hacking for Macklin. There's got to be one there somewhere, but, all in for Macklin. I don't know, but you're going to see a lot of slogans down the road here. Everyone licking their chops to try to get this kid. Cause wow. How special is he? I'm blown away by how good he is. Complete. I know I keep saying it, but complete center, no flaws in his game. So, looking forward to the rest of the World Junior here. I have, U.S. looks like they're going to be tough to beat, but this kid could lead Canada to a goal, too, and it'll be him leading him. He's the best player. So it's going to be exciting to watch the rest of the World Juniors.
Just to touch on him, you mentioned his speed and how he really breaks away. In some of those clips that you showed, especially where he was rushing through open ice, kind of more down the wing. The one where he pulled the puck through his legs, he kind of looked like Nate MacKinnon there a little bit, where he gets that really quick, fast first push, and he's just gone. And he has a little bit of that, and he has some sitting in there too with the way he plays in his own end and his vision and his smarts. And you mentioned his hockey sense. That, I think, to me, is what separates the guys who are really, really, really good from the guys who are truly great. Yeah. And you can only be so good without a brain. And if you have the skill to go with the brain, like give me a brain over a skill guy. Look at Mark Stone, perfect example. I'll take that guy. There's 200 guys more skilled than him in the league. And he's carrying around a Stanley Cup. So give me a guy with a brain all day. But when you have them both, like the sky, really, I keep saying the sky is the limit, but I mean, there's no one I can think of in the league that wouldn't salivate at the opportunity to build around that guy, especially with the leadership qualities too. Sidney Crosby, Stanley Cup, Patrice Bergeron, Stanley Cup, Anze Kopitar, Stanley Cup, Mark Stone, Stanley Cup. And aside from Sid, talking about the guys who are always necessarily the most skilled, but it's leadership, it's brains, it's the other stuff. And this guy is that plus the skill. So what's he going to be?
Yeah. There's a lot of like Taves with more skill.
Yeah. Which is Crosby.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, man. Like coming back to, you know, the fact that we keep coming back to Sidney Crosby is a testament in and of itself. Like, that's not a name you just throw around like that. All right. That's a very, very big comparison, and he's earned that comparison. So insane stuff. I mean, I know Habs fans are seeing him tear up BU with a little guy named Lane Hutson to his side. So they're dreaming as well, right? I mean, we'll get to our Habs prospect. I know, Rocco, you're a Sens fan, so we won't bother you with that one too much. but we thank you for your insight. We'll surely be doing Rocco's riser some more. You know, don't get your mind in the gutter, okay?
Let's get the outro music going here, guys.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's a treat here, so I'll be with that.
Thanks, Rocco. Thanks for the blast.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good one. All right, Rocco Zappia, recruits employee and recruiting professional with Rocco's Riser, and great insight on Macklin Celebrini. So as I mentioned, right, for our Habs viewers, we have to give you a little treat. This week's Habs prospect of the week is Filip Mešár, who has been doing very well for Team Slovakia.
Well, you know, there's not a lot of prospects playing this past week. It's everyone kind of the break time. So I thought we'd go with the kid that's probably been the best so far out of the Habs prospects at the World Juniors. Mešár. This, you know, he opened the tournament against the Czechia, and that pass that he made there was, here it is here.
Disgusting.
Just elite. His playmaking, it, you know, I do wonder if down the road he doesn't end up playing with Slafkovský, you know. It's a possibility because there's certainly a lot of they can complement each other quite a bit.
Right.
Now, you know, obviously Caulfield then would be with another winger, whoever that may end up being. But I wondered last year, because he struggled somewhat, if he was going to be a top six forward at the NHL level. But what we've seen this year in Kitchener, how he's looked at the World Juniors, definitely has the skill level. That was amazing. Wow. Here, this is, check this out here. Whoop. And then the feed.
Yeah.
That's top six NHL level skill right there. He's got the edges, the skating. I love that little move he made, and then the perfect pass. Mm. That should almost created another goal there. But what I also liked about him in the first two games is his work along the boards. He battled hard. Look at the moves, you know, and then the shovel pass. He's got the puck possession skills to find open space, and then the vision to make the pass where it needs to be made afterwards. And that, to me, is what you need at 5'10". You need to be, you know, you need those qualities to be able to, you need those qualities to be able to play a top six role. And I think what we've seen from him this year is that certainly he's got the potential. I did have him below Joshua earlier in the year. There was the feed that he made. I think it was important to see him on the ice with a 1-0 lead, protecting the lead at the end of that game. That tells you how much his coach respects his defensive play at this point. And then he made the he made the great play, defensive play, and then chipped the puck perfectly up to the guy for the insurance goal at the end. His improved play away from the puck has been important this year. I think them bringing in the Finnish coach has done wonders for him. This guy has won at every level, and he's transformed a bunch of Kitchener's players into better players. Look at Rakoff as an example. Bruce DeWitt on defense reached another level. So he's in a great environment, Kitchener. And as we've seen in the first two games of the World Juniors, he looks night and day better than he did at last year's World Juniors. I mean, it's often the case with a kid that your first go at it at 18, you don't stand out. And at 19, you're more comfortable and know what to expect. But still, he looks great. And he gets the nod over Beck, who I think had two very solid games as well. But Mesher, two very important points that he assists that he got that helped Slovakia get off to a 2-0 start to start the tournament here. And he's full marks for perhaps being their best player of the first two games. What did you think? You get to see those matches?
A little bit, not the whole thing, but he did definitely stand out for me. But again, you know, that 2022 draft class showing up. I mean, you got Slavkovsky obviously coming into his own in the NHL. Meshar, who's now looking like a legitimate first-round pick, right? Like, before people were having their doubts, now it's like, no, he deserved to be picked where he was. And then, you know, Beck and Hudson in the second. I mean, that's some magical work from Kent Hughes right there. It might count as one of those draft classes where you look back and you're like, oh, boy, yeah, really home run. And his first as a GM, too, even more impressive. But yeah, Philip Meshar, highly, highly deserving of the Habs Prospect of the Week. I completely agree with you. You know, Lane Hodgson's doing his thing for Team USA. We know what he's capable of. Beck's in a great role with that line with Danielson and Allard with Team Canada. Love that line. They're fantastic together. But Meshar, yeah, I agree with you, has the edge this week. But again, lots of exciting names, right, for Habs fans. Jacob Fowler just won today against Switzerland. So all four really are proving themselves and they're showing up. They're showing up big time. So I think that's about it for today, guys. We thank Rocco for his segment, Rocco's Riser. Grant, as always, thank you so much. And thank you all for listening. You know, Happy New Year, guys. 2024 is here and we're not going anywhere. In fact, it's only going to get better from here. So we hope you can stick around and keep listening to us because we like to talk about hockey. It's a lot of fun for us. And if you get some enjoyment out of it as well, all the better. You know, if you can subscribe, like, leave us a comment, all that good stuff would be really appreciated. And as always, go check out recruits.ca, right? Grant's got some fantastic reports, everything draft related, everything Habs related. It's all on there for your eyes. So Grant, any final remarks?
Well, I don't hear any Irish outro music here. Rocco,
I think we got that ready. Yeah.
He comes on once and he gets music. It's
Italian privileges.
It wouldn't have anything to do with the Cavaliers, you know, being Italian. I don't think. I hope not, you know. anyway, yeah. Hey, I guess I don't deserve it, and that's fine. But we'll be having a chat with Sammy and Yellow there after this.
All right, we'll get some Irish jig going up in here soon enough. All right, thank you all for watching, and see you very soon.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast, Recruits Draftcast on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.